confirm the value commission by the focus really deputy as its leader, along with Paul Benham as deputy leader, Jamie Lee Ross as senior book chair, same junior and third whips. I've committed to leading the National Party into opposition. We are the strongest opposition the New Zealand Parliament has seen. We'll go into the House with more seats than the Labour New Zealand First coalition government, 56 seats on our side. I've committed to leading an opposition that is going to make sure that the benefits New Zealanders have worked so hard for in our economy not just preserved but continue to improve. A lot of work over the last 10 years to get to being one of the better performing economies in the developed world. The policies we're seeing from the incoming government could fritter that away. We will hold them to account on the high expectations they have created, that for instance incomes will rise faster and that they'll make significantly better progress on some of the more challenging environmental social issues. We don't believe their policies point in that direction, but that is the point of political debate. We will be an opposition campaigning for a positive platform for the New Zealand economy. It's interesting to note that as we head into the changeover of government, the national opposition have a more positive view about New Zealand's prospects than the incoming government, which is already set out to prepare people for a slower economy and at the same time promising higher incomes. I think they'll find that a bit of a challenge, and the release of the coalition agreement today needs to be seen in the context of the agreement with the Greens and also the Labour's policies, which are the most significant of the policies of the new government. Taken as a whole, in the first place they look really quite expensive, so we'll be tracking closely the impact on the government's books and also the impact of the significant increase in expenditure and whether it achieves results. The policies also look to shift the economic direction somewhat, and we'll be holding the government to account on whether the broad sweep of policies, that is Labour, Greens and New Zealand First, achieve the kind of greater economic performance that they've claimed.
Looking at the policies and the agreement, would you agree that this could be seen as a government change?
Well, look, New Zealand is mindful of that. I think what they're looking for is policy that's going to effectively serve the interests of New Zealand. I don't think they really care what the government calls the sector. The lot of the signals are quite confusing, as I've said. The government's already trying to prepare New Zealanders for poor economic performance, but is promising higher incomes. Those two things don't go together.
Did anyone contest your leadership
today? No, there's no.
Do you expect to lead the party into the 2020 election?
Yes, I do.
Can you commit to leading the party into the 2020 election?
Yes, I do.
So that you've looked at the agreement now, the Labour New Zealand First one, is it, how does it compare to yours? I know you're not going to give us detail, but is it a bit thinner than you would have thought? Does it have more detail than what you had with New Zealand First?
Look, it's a different agreement. There's some overlaps, obviously. New Zealand First have their own policies. But I think it's important to take an agreement alongside Labour's policies. For instance, the agreement doesn't refer at all to the very expensive tertiary policy that Labour's committed to. It doesn't refer at all to the industrial relations policy, which is really quite a big shift in our workplace framework. And there's other significant policies it doesn't cover. So you need to see them as a whole. I mean, this agreement's been published today, but actually our focus is going to be on the policy of the government. And interestingly, it's, you know, the policies of the government are a collection of a range of bits and pieces, some of them significant, which no one particularly was trying to get out of the election process, but it's what we ended up with.
What do you make of the monetary policy and the Reserve Bank Act that they've done? How do you think it'll change monetary policy in New Zealand?
Well, they'll need to explain just what they're referring to there. I mean, part of the success of the New Zealand economy has been the stability of the institutional arrangements. Now, of course, you always want to be open to updating the arrangements around your economy. If they don't want to create uncertainty, then they should get specific pretty quickly about what is meant by the changes to the Reserve Bank Act, because it's been a pretty important part of our economic framework. Just as if they want to reduce uncertainty, they need to pretty quickly outline the progress, what progress are going to follow on the tax issues, because that's another significant Labor policy that's not referred to in this agreement, but they've outlined during the campaign quite a significant overhaul of the tax system, as well as repealing tax reductions. In fact, it will be one of the first acts of the new government. The Greens and New Zealand First will be voting against a tax package they voted for just 2 or 3 months ago.
When Justin resigned, there was quite a significant move for generational change within the National Party. Are you confident that that won't rear its head again before the 2020 election and you won't be rolled?
Look, I'm confident in the discipline and focus of the caucus. They are keen in the near term to make sure that we continue the campaign for a positive outlook for New Zealand and hold the new government to account on that. And I'm sure that my performance will be in question. It will be under scrutiny just like everybody else's. That's what happens in opposition. But we do have a quite unique situation here that is an opposition. 44.5% of New Zealanders voted for it, who want to see us continue to fight for an aspirational and confident New Zealand. And we have a government with a much less confident view about New Zealand, who have already tried to lower expectations. Now that's a fight worth getting into. I've had a quick look at that. Yeah, they've got some quite significant portfolios. But they I don't think that's going to matter quite so much as the broad sweep of our Labour and not just leaders.
What do you make of New Zealand First having both the foreign affairs portfolio and the defence portfolio? And when you were negotiating with Mr. Pitts, did you get up to the stage of allocating different portfolios and
on? Well, of course, I'm not going to comment on the negotiations. New Zealand has been able to represent itself for the last decade as an outward-looking, globally competitive economy that succeeded when many other countries have failed or have found it hard. Foreign affairs and defence is the face, alongside the Prime Minister, the face of New Zealand to the world. Now it's the spokesmanship's there, gone to a party that has quite a different view. That is, it's pretty hostile about the global economy. It's trying to constrain significantly the people and investment that come across our border. I think they'll find that a challenge, but I hope that they will represent New Zealand as a confident global economy and not in the way that it was represented by the Deputy Prime Minister last Thursday night in his speech, which was a country that's now scared of what might happen to them.
In one word, what would be
Just positive leadership. We want to preserve and grow, preserve the progress New Zealand's made, and put pressure on this government to continue to lift confidence and aspirations.
And the
early indications are that they have a reasonably negative view of New Zealand's prospects. Well, they have to do better than that.
If there's a couple of low polls, do you still think you'd be confident going into 2020?
Well, 2020 is a wee way off. We haven't actually changed government yet.
Well, you were quite confident from the 2017 election. You were quite confident saying, yes, I will leave this party in 2020. If you thought things were going the wrong way, do you believe that your party will back
you for the bad time? Look, I know better than most that success in politics is all about performance.
Mr. English,
I would expect a expect to have the, to perform positively. And as I said, we have this unusual situation, an opposition party going into Parliament where I, as a leader, earned significantly more votes than the new Prime Minister, where my party has more seats than the governing coalition, and where we have a programme that almost one in two New Zealanders backed with enthusiasm in the last election. That's quite different than the changes of government in 1999 and 2008.
Mr English, you were 0-2 in elections. Do you feel like there's some unfinished business for you personally, and is that why you're staying on till 2020 and to fight that campaign?
Oh, look, it's not a matter of personal, what matters for me personally in that sense. I mean, I've put my name forward to lead the party because I'm personally committed to building on the gains that New Zealand has made. As we said during the campaign, New Zealand has a generational opportunity to lock in higher levels of economic performance and deal in a world-leading way with some of our most challenging social and environmental issues. We don't have the opportunity to do that, but we want to hold the government to account to taking that opportunity and not frittering it away on expensive policies and backwards thinking.
Do you think it's going to last 3 years, this government?
Well, to some extent up to them and to some extent up to us. I mean, they do start from a weaker position than most incoming governments, and that is that they, in an election campaign where the public had the opportunity to endorse Labor as the largest party, they fell well short of it, and they've now got a three-party coalition with quite a few contradictory instincts and policies. From here, though, we have the opportunity as an opposition to hold them to account, to set the bar high, to be a constructive and positive opposition about New Zealand's prospects. The early indications are the incoming government has a less confident, less aspirational view for New Zealand. We just don't think that's good enough.
That incoming government was quite critical of the last 9 years' track record in the regions. What do you make of their comments about National being a failure in the regions?
Oh, it's just wrong. I mean, I think even they were surprised when they went to the regions in election year to find how well most of them were doing. With a shortage of labour, low unemployment, rising health prices, businesses that were confident and aspirational, and it's our hope, well, part of our job is to make sure that the new government does not get in the way of the success of our regions.
Mr. Regan, what's the mood of the caucus today? What's the mood of your national
I'd describe it as sober and positive. That is, sober about the reality that the government is changing, and as that happens on Thursday. But very positive about this unique situation we find ourselves in. I mean, any party that's won, almost 45% of the vote should feel pretty good about that achievement. Nevertheless, it wasn't enough to get into government, and these are a group of motivated people who now want to get on with the job of being a successful and positive opposition. I think they're all encouraged by the very strong positive reaction we have had from almost one in two New Zealanders who are disappointed that we're not the government and who expect us to advocate strongly for a positive view for New Zealand's future in contrast to the government's negative view. I'm sure that'll be discussed later in the cycle.
Given your result, were your caucus disappointed in you and the negotiating team that you had that you put in Queensland's defence?
Look, I think they're disappointed they're not in government. I outlined the results of the negotiations to them last Thursday. Like I was, they were satisfied that could have been the basis for a strong government. But look, that business has been done. The negotiated positions between Labor and New Zealand First are part of the government's program, but the larger part of it is the Labor Party policies, which a lot of people, frankly, didn't expect were going to be implemented. And they'll be under a lot of scrutiny as they set out, for instance, to implement their tax policy, their industrial relations policy, government spending policies, which, on the face of it, look expensive and probably will not be not actually help economic growth.
Are you going to make it a priority to make some more friends around Parliament so you don't have to rely on
something? I've got a lot of friends around Parliament. Well, look, they're clearly, part of our job in the next 3 years is to ensure there are options for a national-led government after the next election. Almost one in two New Zealanders feel that's what should happen this time. It didn't. They'll certainly be expecting us to make it possible the next time. But that is secondary, I think, to maintaining and campaigning for and advocating for a positive view about New Zealand's prospects. And for many New Zealanders who, you know, I feel obliged to, who voted for us, and actually many who didn't, but whose prospects would have been greatly improved by a re-elected national government, including some of our most vulnerable.
You haven't criticised the Greens once today, did you know that?
Well, I haven't really seen the agreement. I mean, we've got plenty to criticise about the Greens. We do have the opportunity, though, to work with them over the Kermadec legislation, where I see in the agreement there's some pretty mealy-mouthed words there, which are trying to put off the choice that the Greens want to see made, and that is a government backing the Kermadec Reserve.
Thanks, Peter.
Okay, thank you very much.